Okay. It's a little after 2. I'll go ahead and call to order for a regularly scheduled Board of Health meeting, Tuesday, October 6th. And we're just missing one. Mr. Speck lost an argument with his dirt bike, apparently, so we wish him well. First item is the consent agenda, and it simply looks like the approval of the agenda and the minutes from last month. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Anything further? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. That's consent agenda has been approved. Public forum. This is a time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health. Anybody have anything they want to add? I don't see anybody move towards the mic. Agency and departmental reports. Everybody's favorite, Denise Denton from YSS.
As usual, you have a few things. One, I wanted to update you on some other policies that are sort of happening concerning vaping, which is a topic that we've brought before this board before. I've given you a picture of the latest vaping device that we're so pleased that people are manufacturing. It looks like a vaporizer, so people can use that.
Push your button.
Does it not work?
How about that?
There you go.
Does that work better? A photo of the most recently vaping device that's being used. I don't know that our school resource officer has confiscated that one per se yet, but that brings you to the second sort of handout, I think, that I brought you, which speaks to the fact that young people who are using e-cigarettes are, we're finding that they're about 4 times more likely to go ahead and use tobacco. So that was always one of our fears, and unfortunately that is being confirmed by the CSAR, which is a weekly fax that comes out from the University of Maryland. They sort of keep track of these kinds of things. So to that end, we're pretty pleased that I believe you received a document online that spoke to the fact that Iowa State is looking at putting a policy into effect as of January 1st that would prohibit any vaping kinds of devices on the campus. And that was something that the Health Promotion Club took to them. The Health Promotion Club has also just recently written a letter to Herman Kornbach asking him to consider forwarding legislation in the next session that would speak to this sort of thing. So if they get their way, if we get our way, then it'll be state law by next July. That's what we want. I don't know that we'll get that. But so that will be something that they're promoting. Along those lines, I've also provided you with some information concerning marijuana, and of course one of the reasons that we're concerned about vaping devices is that makes it pretty easy for young people to also use marijuana. That's going to be another hot topic in the next legislative season because, of course, there's a lot of controversy concerning medical marijuana versus regular marijuana. I tend to think that it's sort of all the same thing. But that's me and science that speaks to that. Along those lines, we just finished Recovery Month, and we at YSS, we had about an activity a day concerning Recovery Month, but September is always Recovery Month, and we try and highlight the fact that people can have problems with substances, but they can recover from that and recover very well with enough help. So the golden rod sheet that you got are an explanation of some of the other activities that we've been involved in. You know, with the beginning of school, it's back to our usual. So lots of Project Alert at the middle school. I personally just finished talking to 15 college classes, our Health 10 class, or 110 class, which is our beginning health class. So we were able, through that, to reach about 400 freshman students with information about substances. That's usually a one-two punch kind of thing where the first class is sort of all things in general, drugs, and then the instructor is allowed to sort of choose a particular topic concerning the second class that we do. So some of them do request information on binge drinking and others request information on marijuana. So that's something that we've been involved in. We've also been involved in a task force at the university level where they're looking at activities at the Greek level and the way they're going to address health and wellness for the Greek community. And so we're looking forward to sort of the overall findings of that. But spent some time with people from across the university, everybody from the health service to students to house moms who live with some of that every day, and talking about some of the issues that they're seeing and some of the solutions that they'd like to see. And so, you know, one of the things that we know is that students in the Greek community tend to binge drink sort of at a higher level than the university as a whole. And so you can.
What?
I know. You're stunned. On average, college students binge drink at about 44% of those who said they've done it sort of in the last 30 days. In the Greek community, usually the average is around 65%. I don't know what our latest figures are at Iowa State, but that's sort of been where we hover. So if you can bring down the binge drinking just in the Greek community, you could, you know, you could predict shifting the numbers, moving the needle for the entire university. And as it turns out, we have a few more students than we used to, 36,001. So that could make a significant difference if we could do something about that. We did meet with the Dean of Students yesterday who the Prevention Policy Board met with the Dean of Students yesterday who explained some of the changes that they're looking at in terms of the health services, because that got a little play in the paper about some of the things that were not going well there. And as part of that, they actually just eliminated their prevention services, all health and wellness services for substance abuse and mental health services, as part of that sort of overhaul, I guess. They're looking to have a new program that all students would participate in concerning violence prevention starting in November. And then they will be rolling out a whole new system or a whole new initiative on health and wellness for the university in the spring. But they've been working with a consulting group for about the last 6 months, evidently. And they do have someone in place who's sort of facilitating that or monitoring that. And we met with him yesterday as well. So they don't have all those pieces in place, but they recognize that university students have been woefully underserved. You know, universities the size of Iowa State usually have about 10 to 15 people who do substance abuse prevention, and we've had 2.5 forever. So a little underserved. So they're looking at doing that, and we're very encouraged by that. That's the high points. That's one breath. What questions can I answer?
Have you ever considered, or have you done yet, a grand round at Mary Greeley Medical Center on all this vaporization things and even marijuana use?
I'm not so sure that one of our staff, that Laura Bell, didn't do a grand rounds once upon a time on vaping. But to my knowledge, we've never done anything on marijuana and medical marijuana and all that stuff, although KCCI evidently did a story yesterday that's getting some reaction.
What is?
KCCI did a story yesterday, and I got an email right before I came over from Jason Tuttle, who said somebody called and yelled at him about it. So, you know, there's a lot of controversy around that. Evidently, some people are feeling very strongly.
Remember, they had a very interesting, you wrote about this in the acute psychiatric reactions. The first documented death from marijuana happened in Colorado a few months ago. A kid ate too much of edible, had an acute psychotic reaction, and jumped off the top of the building. Yeah. So when people tell you marijuana has never killed anyone,
not exactly.
You can't say it now.
Not exactly true. You know, one of the things that people don't realize is, you know, there are alcohol is one of those drugs that suppresses the gag or that suppresses breathing and heart rate. And so when it gets to the brainstem, you're done. Marijuana also gets to the brainstem, but not enough to do that. So that's where that myth and legend comes from, that it never kills anybody, that you never overdose. But in that case, yes, you can. And there are enough receptor cells in the brainstem to suppress the gag reflex. So alcohol and marijuana combined makes it more likely that you die of acute alcohol poisoning. So that never gets the play that I think it should either.
Yeah.
So many drugs, so little time.
Really. Well, the big reason I was thinking about making sure that the vaporization is kept up on the medical radar is I know that I've started to do it in my it's now part of my routine talk when kids hit junior high and sixth grade about vaporizing e-cigarettes. I use the term, and I talk to them about that, and I appropriately vilify the tobacco industry, by the way, you'll be glad to know. But I'm kind of wondering that if we continue to have that conversation from a professional standpoint and professionals coming in and saying to groups of physicians that you need to start talking to people about this,
okay.
That you need to start adding it into not only don't do drugs, don't have sex, use a condom, blah, blah, e-cigarettes are bad too. So.
Well, hey, we would love to.
But I'm not an expert, so you have to.
And I don't know that I am either, but Laura Bell is on this very thing, and she.
So you know who you talk to.
No, I don't.
You talk to D'Arlis.
Ah.
Yeah, you know her. Yep. And she will be able to help you. She'll be also be able to tell you whether you've done one recently. I personally don't go to a lot of grand rounds, so I don't know if it was there, and I just didn't go to it. But
you would certainly come if we came.
If you had another one, yes, I certainly would. Certainly would try.
Okay. We'll try to do that. What other? Anything?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again.
Next, Story County Public Health, Kyle Breeze. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm going to let Terry start with the disease report, all the technical.
All right. Yeah, my report, I think you all have it, is very short. I think it's record short. But so we had a very quiet July, and August and September were very busy. But the two things we mainly are doing this year is when the students come back in August, disease surveillance and vaccinations to get kids ready for school. So... With that being said, I will put down, I know we've got a perinatal hepatitis B, chronic hepatitis B, and E. coli, but I forgot about, we have spent the last 2 months, we've had three suspected TB clients that were following, doing sputums, treating one, got two ready to start INH, but that in itself takes an enormous amount of time. So that, it seems like, so with those three, that makes five this year, five TB cases that we were involved in. So anyway.
This sounds like a lot.
It is a lot. It is a lot more. However, the two that we were dealing with in September, we're treating with INH only, so
they're not active. They're latent.
They're not active. We've had three active cases already this year, and that was in July. Let's see. I'm sorry. January, February, March were active, confirmed active cases. But these three, well, one was confirmed active, so actually we've had four. The other two were not active cases. But they still had positive tests for exposure, had questionable chest x-rays, and are still on the rate. They're still being treated. So anyway, but again, a lot of time, a lot of time goes to that. And let's see what else we got. Flu clinics. Our flu clinics have started, of course, and they are very busy. We're mixing them with our senior health clinics. That seems to go over well, especially with people who are in the apartment complexes and cannot get at, don't have rides, don't have cars. So we have been vaccinating a lot for the flu. We're still doing our walk-in clinics, of course, three times a week. So... has been a busy summer. Well, busy August. July, though, was the most quiet, I think, for the month of July that we experienced. I've been here 22 years. I mean, it was amazingly quiet. So, Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
Now that you successfully, now that you successfully jinxed that, well,
yeah, really well. The report will be expanded.
Yeah, you know, August, September, they're pretty typical, you know, right now. And the other thing I was going to mention is that there is a mumps outbreak in around Iowa City. We haven't seen any in our county.
I was just going to ask you about that, if there was anything we needed to be doing in prep for that, because I know the University of Illinois also had a huge outbreak, mm-hmm. too. So.
You know, and our vaccination rates are really high in Story County, and ISU also has, you know, their, I think they do require 2 MMRs. So just having people look at their immunization records and making sure they're vaccinated, you know, preferably with 2 MMRs is the big thing. But our vaccination rates in our county are high.
Good.
So.
Do we think that moved here from Illinois because it seemed to mm-hmm. start over there?
Yeah. Interesting that it's in Iowa City. Most of the cases are in Iowa City. There are a couple, you know, a few throughout Iowa, but Iowa City's seeing the big concentration of that, and it could be.
So each university can make its own requirements for their vaccines before they enroll. Iowa State is very good about making sure that they have 2 MMRs, or they're not even letting them step on campus, not for months, but because of measles. Mm-hmm. And I think in University of Iowa they require the meningitis vaccine, but I don't know, maybe you know this, I don't think they require 2 MMRs
at
University of Iowa.
University of Iowa, that I am not sure.
Yeah, I know they require the meningitis vaccine because mm-hmm. they've had outbreaks of meningitis.
That would be something to look.
Does Iowa State require the meningitis?
You know,
as well?
I don't know. Tell you the truth. I wouldn't be surprised. I would be very surprised if they didn't. I know enough people in student health that they would
push up.
Yeah, and the schools in Story County, for the most part, the nurses, the faculty, they have, I guess the administration stands behind expelling students who aren't up to date with their vaccinations until they receive doses. So we see several of those. Kids. So, anyway.
Good job.
Thank you.
And just a couple of status items. The 2-page handout is just a core services update. Feel free to ask questions on that. Shelly's handout, she did touch on emergency preparedness, and we are planning a large scale exercise coming up in early 2016 as part of our Department of Public Health will be helping coordinate that. Take care of the 4 capabilities that are needed for this year, as well as the large scale exercise which is needed for the whole contract. So, community health needs assessment planning is in place. We've worked with the leadership group of Stewart County and Quality Lifelines to identify 3 priorities, and we'll bring that to a future meeting. Right now, we're working to kind of cascade execution of plans for those priorities surrounding coalitions around each of those 3 priorities and identifying metrics at both high and local levels so we can track outcomes as we start bringing plans in place. And then also alluded to on Terry's sheet is the fact that we are providing 2 clinics to the city games this year. So we did put in a bid, well, 1 that bid, and we're doing 10 clinics throughout October. Find these opportunities to promote within the county. We're getting numerous calls to potentially provide biometric measures for employer groups, seeing if we're interested in doing that, seeing if we'd be willing to do that. It's something we're trying to feel out right now, seeing how we can serve the community in this way. I think the sweet spot there is these small employer groups who know they want to do something to help their employees, don't have any of the manpower to do that, or don't know how to do that, so we think they're really good. guess the last piece would just be we're looking to work with the county. We have a hot issue right now with making sure our website's maintained. So making sure that all the wonderful two point information, all those things are being posted.
Okay.
Okay.
Have you talked to the IT, anybody in the IT department?
We're trying to find that contact. We've been working through, actually, emergency management's been our contact in the past, so we're trying to get past that.
Barb Steinbeck is the director. She'd be more than happy to talk to you.
Wonderful. With that, I just turn it over to any further questions.
I would ask... encourage you to reach out to our HR director, and if you email me, I'll get you that information.
Sure.
We've already got a date set with Medicap to do our flu clinic here.
Yeah.
They've done us for the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
Excellent.
We've had pretty good success with them, but I would certainly think that if the Story County Public Health is offering flu clinics, I'd like to see Story County employees take advantage of that. But
we are trying to not compete.
Sure.
We're trying to fill gaps where
right.
So, but yeah, I'll have to reach out to the HR.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know exactly like it. Next we have Environmental Health Department, Margaret Chains.
Oh, this is not the right one. How old is that? August.
Should we do the August one again?
I apologize. So the gentleman that was going to be here today for the coyote certification, I guess his calendar slipped away on him. And he asked to be on next agenda.
Remind us what that acronym stands for again.
It's the certification for septic contractor,
right.
Basically. Okay. What am I doing here?
And he was concerned about the process.
He thinks it's unfair that, and then he also disagrees with having to take a test to be able to install in Story County. But Iowa, and that includes Story County, has 400 people who are coyote certified, and to let those few in, I'm going to stick to...
Well, there's a simple answer. If you don't want to take the test, then you don't have to put systems in Story County.
That's right. So, I don't know.
We'll wait till we come.
That's my filler, but I obviously can't talk and... do this at the same time. Oh, come on. Oh, I know how I have to do this. I have to open it. Board of Health, October 2015. I thought that's when I had. There it is. Okay. So, from the beginning. Okay, so good afternoon. This picture shows it's a discharge pipe, and it just looks like a submarine in the middle of the field, so I thought I would share that with you. It's pretty darn cool, I think. Septic systems, we're keeping up pretty good. We've got 69 permits, so I don't think we're going to beat last year, but we're going to be right up there, I think, pretty good. For wells, we've done 24 permits so far this year, 7 of which are water. Most of them are for animals. 16 plugins, 2 rehabs, 114 water samples. Those guys have been really busy with that. And time of transfer, well inspections, 39. For our grants to counties, we have a balance of almost $24,000. They're going to take a look at that and maybe take some money away from us in December if that's not spent. So we're trying to find ways and encourage people. We've done, you can see all the money the way it's been spent so far. I've been going to the Slater Source Water Protection meetings. That map shows, and this is a real simple one because there are no rivers that go through the town, so it doesn't pull that that zone, the water flow, the groundwater flow. It doesn't pull that like it would in other cities. So, and then the wells, it's hard to see, but the wells are centered right in that red circle there. And the focuses that we have now are identifying possible abandoned wells. The city itself has a well that really should be plugged. They haven't been using. It's got a holey casing. And then they're also doing fluffy things that I don't really agree with, like rain barrels, water gardens, things like that. It just seems, I don't know, it's not well connected in my opinion. It seems more, you know, the septic systems, the well plugins, and then identifying your possible spills in the area. I think those are the more important areas of focus. We did pitch in $250 toward advertising for plugging abandoned wells, and that was for their newsletter, and that came through the Grants to Counties money. And we're also going to be sending mailers to non-permitted septic systems. For enforcement, we have 8 outstanding time of transfer binding agreements, and 3 are overdue, mostly because the contractors are behind with the rain. 11 outstanding notice of violations, and most of them I'm staging them, kind of getting them moving toward getting their work done. One new one this quarter, sewage, open discharge of sewage in Fernald. We had 3 new complaints in 2015. Again, that was sewage in Fernald, and then 2 bed bug complaints. The Ames one was a hotel, so we were able to pass that on to Department of Inspection and Appeals, and they are doing a good job following that up.
If we grow watershed, two more systems this month, or 7, so we have 2 more to go. So that's just flipping along nicely, and then that part of the work will be over with. That'd be great. Crest View update, water supply. There's one water supply well, 1970s, kind of a quasi-public well, just because of the number of people they serve, lots of complaints. So I did meet with the city of Ames, DNR, and bring up Laverne to discuss the possibility of Crest View opening up the city water. And so now the ball is in, well, the city has to write a letter, and then Liver has to respond and request that, and then later on scan it. So that's a big step for Amy to actually say that we're going to take them on. So really, really a good deal. And I will say that most of the trailers are being, those vacant trailers are gone now. You can see,
On the west side there was a whole lineup of vacant trailers, and they are now gone. I don't know if they legally got rid of them, but they are gone. So gone is good. So, yep.
Don't ask.
So, let's see. Trainings and meetings, C2C, and Kathy and I went to the well workshop over in Boone County, Slater Source Water, and then all four of us had to do the EOC training. Matt really enjoys that extra special. Master Matrix, I met with department heads to come up with policy and procedure, wrote that up, and presented it to the board, so that is on the records now. The main difference is that we're going to have like a group of department heads to review the Master Matrix, and then right when it comes in the door, we're going to review it. If we need more information, we're going to stop the clock and return the whole darn thing to the applicant, and then start it over again. We're going to try to streamline this and get the public to just, you know, quit badgering. miscellaneous. So this guy was helping me on a site review, and he came up and rooted through my bucket. Oh, this guy. Rooted through my bucket and grabbed my water bottle and took off with it. It was so funny. Oh, I was just dying. But he's snuggle him in, and he was just cute. So, so for the miscellany, I did turn over all my lead files to IDPH, and so now all of those, they will have to do those now. So we are out of the lead business. kind of a sad day, actually. Center Grove Orchard, they have not had a decent septic system for a really long time. And we found out that they were land applying, and you can't land apply holding tank septage. So now they have a deal cut with the pumper. He comes and pumps the tanks and brings it to the city of Huxley. Hopefully by next busy year, they will have their system up and running. But it's going to be a high-dollar one. I do a lot of business all in, like, you know, a couple months' time at the most. Cameron Estates ran into some problems with the engineering decisions on some of the systems, so I had to tell the builders that they had to put in more expensive systems, and that's causing a lot of grief with the builders because it's costing more and their bottom line is off. So, but it is what it is, and it's easier and cheaper to do it right the first time. And then the disclosure ordinance is on hold. I'm quite disappointed about this. So you all passed it, and then the Board of Supervisors passed it, and then legal gave it the thumbs up, and then the top dog legal said no, they couldn't defend it in court. So now we're down to basically nothing. If it doesn't affect, if it doesn't increase water usage,
so mainly
then
it has to do with changes to the dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you're going
to add a bedroom, boom, you have to increase that. And that's really the only thing that affects.
Yeah, I think his concern was if, say, for instance, somebody wants to have a home business and, you know, you're going to have an electrical business out of your home. You know, you won't have any increased traffic in your house because of that business. But if you're going to run your business from your property, you have to get a home business permit. And that would have triggered this disclosure. And that was one example the county attorney uses, that he's concerned if we have somebody who takes us to court to make that jump, that, you know, that yes, you need to disclose what type of a system you have in order to get this permit to run an electrical business out of your, basically out of your garage, when it doesn't increase the traffic flow through your house. And there was something else that he was concerned about.
Support it. Well, and then like the types of things like a application for a porch that wouldn't add water.
His concern was being able to defend it if somebody takes us to court.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know how do you have to go back to the Board of Health and Board of Supervisors and say, no, this is off the books now? I don't know how that goes.
Well, it was never passed as an ordinance.
True.
The policy is there. The policy probably needs to be revisited and reworded.
Yeah.
But we put a hold on it before we went to the ordinance stage because the county attorney had some concerns.
So I'll be working on that. But I don't think there's even anything to write up now because it's stripped to nothing. So I don't think I'll.
Well, we'll have to take a look at the policy and see if it's different than what you're doing now.
Okay.
So.
Okay. That's it. Short one.
Back up to, I can't even remember now. With the, keep going, I'll tell you when to stop. Right there, no, too far. With the Crestview.
Mm-hmm.
So if he requests this from the city.
Go ahead.
He'll have to pay to have the water line extended.
Yes, and $30,000-$40,000, something like that. They're not sure. They would like him to loop it so that you get better water pressure, but he might temporarily just bring a line and dead end into the trailer park, and then maybe when they develop to the north.
So if they do that, then the city would have some interest in annexation.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, does this sound like something that he's interested in doing?
Well, he said yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else for Margaret? Okay. Thank you, Margaret, very much.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Anderson is not here today. That brings us to any staff comments? Or any board comments? I would just bring up that Dr. Dvorak is not going to re-up for another term. So we've only got one more meeting with her.
Oh, no. You're not hooked that easily.
Mark's term is up. I'm assuming I haven't talked to him, but Kristen, you sent him an email, didn't you? Did he respond? Okay, he's going to reapply, and due to the changes here a couple of years ago in the legislature, we have to make sure that we make every effort we can to make sure that the board is gender balanced. And in doing so, we have to have our applications open for 90 days. So the application process or time frame open July 1st. And I can't remember what the cutoff date is. Do you remember?
December.
Something in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, 90 days.
Yeah.
Well, 90 days, so we have it.
Well,
by
yeah, but
first.
we cut the applications off before the 90 days, I think.
Oh, the 15th or the 20th?
Right. We've got those on our, yeah. And I got one, we got one in the mail the other day, too. So we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4 applications, including Mark's.
Would you like me to find the date? I can find it quickly.
No, that's okay.
Okay, I didn't know how much.
But my question is, I mean, do we want to do some sort of an interview process with these applicants? I mean, I know typically when the Board of Supervisors, because we appoint for several other boards, planning and zoning and conservation, if we have, you know, 3 or 4 applicants, we'll sit down and do an interview with them. So that's up to you guys. If you want to do it, we should probably try to schedule it for...
But doesn't the Board of Supervisors appoint? Or
appoint, but
oh, you
I think
recommend.
The Board of Health, you know, if we have an interest as a board to talk to the applicants,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think that the Board of Supervisors would have any problem with us making a recommendation on who we'd like to appoint.
Right.
Maybe not even a formal interview process. Maybe if we can invite them all to the next meeting, because we meet again in December, right? Yeah, we meet again in December. So if they're interested, have them come to a board meeting, and we can maybe just have an informal question and answer session with them, and
that's a good idea.
Let's see how we go from there.
That reminds me, the budget will be due in December, and anybody have anything specific they want to put on the budget? No?
Not right off the top.
Any training or anything like that you're interested in, or no?
Well, I would probably leave that up to you.
I mean, for the board.
The board.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's something that we've really never done. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm not sure what's available. We can maybe between you and I, and we can look at some things and see if there's some opportunities and engage what kind of interest there is.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's pretty busy. I don't know if they'd be interested.
Yeah.
But.
Send us some bio before that meeting.
Yeah, when we get all the information together for the board members, I'll send you the applications that we get. You can take a look at those. So, yeah, we have pretty good luck. We put a press release out a couple of weeks ago, and I did see that it was in the Tri-County Times. I don't know if I've seen it anyplace else, but I think it was in last week's Tri-County Times.
No, the Nevada Chamber sent it to all their members.
Okay.
I don't know about the other surrounding community area, you know, there.
And if you know anybody that thinks they'd have an interest in serving on the Board of Health, we'd be more than happy to take an application from them, so... Beats me trying to call people and say, hey, would you please do this for 3 years? So, okay, that's all I have. If nothing else, I would take a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Your motion is second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Cool. Thank you.